Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Thursday morning. It's the 26th of May. We get closer and closer to ending the month, closer and closer to a three-day weekend. And again, lovely to have you all here on with us for the program. Let me introduce our panel to you and give you an idea of who will be talking, and then we'll let you know how you can get involved, and then we'll actually start the talking about the stories that we have assembled this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
How'd you do? How's your brother? How's your mother? How are you?
Yeah.
I feel happy when you feel good. You cheer up my neighborhood. Shaking hands with the whole wide world. How'd you do?
That was a good Bob Dylan impersonation.
No. Woody Guthrie.
All right. Yeah, but
I think the rest of us should go first, and then he should go last. We can't follow that.
No, you can't. It is hard, isn't it? Stu Shinsky is here. He's the executive editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal, and it's always a thrill when we find out he's going to make his way up the thruway and come visit us.
Always great to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Stu. And Chris Churchill is with us. He is he's a columnist for the Times Union newspaper, and always a pleasure to have him aboard as well.
Glad to be here.
Thank you very much. Let us remind you that all you have to do to be a part of the program is to write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. And I realize that some of you know that address by heart. You write to us very instinctively. Others, sure. We welcome you to do it for the first time.
Others, right. Not so much.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. All right, where shall we begin? We have so much to talk about, a lot going on yesterday, and let us begin with the State Department and their review of Hillary Clinton and and the email server. Of course, this is a story that has been around
since 1925.
Yeah, a long, long time. This has been around for a long time. So the State Department's Inspector General on Wednesday sharply criticized Hillary Clinton's exclusive use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State, saying that she had not sought permission to use it and would not have received it if she had. The report delivered to members of Congress undermined some of Mrs. Clinton's previous statements defending her use of the server and handed her Republican critics, including the party's presumptive nominee for President Donald Trump, new fodder to attack her just as she closes in on the presidential nomination. The inspector general found that Mrs. Clinton had an obligation to discuss using her personal email account to conduct official business with department officials, but that, contrary to her claims, and the department allowed the arrangement, there was no evidence that she had requested or received approval for it.
Who's first?
Go for it.
Well, as you guys have said already, it's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's been hit to death. Donald Trump has been called on so many things, mm-hmm, that you just wonder whether there's a duck involved and, water is off its back. Hillary's move, of course, is the one that she's going to pursue, which is going to say, yeah, we've done all of that already. And I've responded to it. And it will go away, and it will go away. They won't let it go away because it's all they got, the opposition.
I'm not so sure it's going to go away. I mean, people keep saying that it will, and it keeps sticking around and sticking around and sticking around, and here it is again, and, you know.
So what?
So the issue,
you can argue about whether or not it'll hurt her, but the issue is going to still be out there.
Well, there's staying around and continues to poison you, but there's also staying around and everybody shrugging their shoulders and say, bring it. Is that all you got?
So can I ask a question about, and I don't know if any of you know the answer, but this particular report coming from the Inspector General, is that how do you get to be Inspector General of the State Department?
A nice resume.
Well, no, obviously somebody hires you, is your point.
Yeah.
And she was there. So we don't know enough about this particular inspector general, right?
But are you asking if it's in the Obama appointee?
Yes.
Yeah, that is the intriguing part. I don't know the
answer.
Or
was it a Hillary appointee?
The timing of the report itself. I mean, again, this is something that's been going on for a very, very long time. So if the agency that she worked for and headed for so long, if there was going to be a damning report, it could have come months ago,
or it could have come months years from
or
now.
Or months October, from now. Right. Before or November, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Late November. Yeah. So
now, you remember, Joe, Robert Redford in The Candidate.
I do.
And remember that one of the great words that were spoken, and I keep thinking of this, were, tell me, says the campaign manager, tell me everything now. If there's anything bad, we're getting it out now so that when it comes around, later on we'll say, oh, yeah, we've dealt with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously she would not want this to happen in October.
Right.
But it does seem that when Bernie Sanders in that first debate says, I don't care about your damn emails.
Talk about giving away an issue.
We thought that was going to take it off the table a little bit.
Yeah. We thought he was being a Hamisher guy.
Well, the issue has obviously morphed beyond emails and servers and stuff like that into intent, deceit, trying to avoid the Freedom of Information Act and judgment.
And question of trust.
Hillary may have a lot to offer as a president. She may have nothing to offer as a president. We'll find out, perhaps. But the issue here is that people are hopping on is, what was she thinking? Is this the judgment we want from someone who's going to sit at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? And why in holy heck wasn't this? This is about, we're talking about email here. Like Allen Iverson was talking about practice for the 76ers all those years.
Yes.
We're talking about email here. But the larger issue is it's fodder. Everything is fodder.
And email is important. I mean, that's the way we communicate. That's the way sensitive documents are transmitted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean,
And the concern on her part, apparently, if according to her narrative here, was because she did not want to have her personal email become property of everyone.
Or subject to FOI.
Right. Which I think any of us in this room can understand degree.
But if she's being entrusted to keep the United States safe, she can't keep her personal emails out of her professional and work email.
Everybody
who has a job understands that your personal emails and your work emails are somewhat separate. You might send a few personal things with your work on your work account, but for the most part, you realize that these are separate things.
We have a governor of New York who's much smarter about this. He uses a BlackBerry.
He deletes them all.
Pin to pin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it all disappears. He puts down a rule that you can't keep any communication after how long?
90 days.
After 90 days.
Right?
Nice 60
he knows what he's
doing. It's quick. Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. Maybe he should have run for president.
So
maybe a lot of people should have run for president.
And the other issue, and what so many people have been saying in the Hillary Clinton camp for weeks has been, well, this is nothing that hasn't been done by other secretaries of state. Colin Powell did this. Condoleezza Rice did this. And what this report makes very clear is that while other senior officials had used personal email accounts for official business, including Colin Powell when he was secretary, the rules made clear by the time she became the nation's top diplomat that using a private server for official business was neither allowed nor encouraged because of, quote, significant security risks.
Also, Colin Powell didn't have a private server. He had a personal email account,
right,
but not a private server set up at his house. Whether that's a distinction worth anything, I don't really know. But I mean, because I don't know where his server was.
And there was also talk that the State Department email system was apparently pretty bad, and that she didn't feel that her emails and information would be confidential enough in the federal system. Which begs the larger question: is why doesn't the State Department have a good email system?
So now, of course, there's this report. There's an FBI investigation. There are other legal challenges seeking information about her email. So this is not a controversy that is going to go away anytime
soon. Yeah, but what is the import? We heard from Daisy, who said, Obama appointee, but a Republican who worked for, I think, Grassley. I think is a little bit, you have to be careful about I thinks. timing better now. And then she goes on to say, if people went after you the way she's been persecuted, wouldn't you do that? And State Department server was hacked. I know. Okay, there you go.
The FBI investigation is obviously the big thing. I mean, if they clear her, maybe this goes away. If they don't clear her, then God knows what happens.
Mushroom cloud.
I just don't know what goes away means.
Well, it goes away as a major issue, I think.
If you have a boo-boo on your arm, and it's there, and it's not cancerous, and it's going to be there forever.
They usually heal, don't they?
No, some of them
don't.
They
scab over and go away.
Some of them don't. I know because I run, our Medical Monday Vox Pop. And every time we have a dermatologist, I show the dermatologist this little thing that's on my arm. And she always says, nah, forget it. Nothing. But it's going to be there forever. Don't you see? The analogy is not good.
If she loses,
you have a little shake of that, Chris. Yeah.
If she loses, it goes
it
away.
If she loses,
wins, it stays. It's that simple, guys.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
If she loses, it goes away. If she wins, it'll be with us for 4 years.
Well, it's interesting. Obama and birthers, for example. Now, remember who the head birther person was? Donald Trump. Day after day after day after day after day, he gets elected president. It goes away. Right,
kind of. I mean, people were still talking about it, but nobody took it seriously.
Yeah, but they're talking about a lot of people took it seriously, and they're talking about how disgraceful it was now that they pulled that.
But also, it wasn't an action that he did. It was an interpretation by somebody else from the outside.
Yeah,
it wasn't a decision that that Barack Obama made. To be born in this country.
Well, let me.
There was a document to prove it.
Let me be very respectful to you, as I always am.
Yes.
Joe. I think that the accusation was that he had done wrong and that he was putting something over on the American people. Turned out, of course, that whoever was foisting that was full of it.
Well, right, but there was the accusation.
Right.
Okay, but he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, but that wouldn't stop.
Point is with Hillary Clinton, there is an action. She used the server. We know that. She used the server, and it wasn't the server that she should have been using.
And it was a mistake. Mm-hmm. There's no way around that.
No.
It was an error in judgment.
So to your point, it's the import of it, right? It's how important it becomes to that of the voter.
Yeah. And everything is fodder. Everything is fodder.
Well, Billy says, I think the biggest issue for Hillary in this report is not the emails. It is that she claimed she had sought State Department permission, and the IG has found out she did not. This plays into a larger narrative, which is hurting her about honesty and trustworthiness.
Although
that's true.
Although I've seen there have been different accounts of that, of who she got permission from, meaning that it was lower level people saying, is this okay? And so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, as a Secretary of State, aren't you the head of the State Department? I mean, who's she asking permission of? I can never sort of sort that out in my mind.
Well, that's probably the way she felt about it.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, there's departmental customs and stuff like that, but she's running it. So I don't know.
Somebody writes and says, that's somebody being somebody with a long, undecipherable name. Why didn't the State Department do their due diligence and tell her, excuse me, Mrs. Clinton, but we would like you to use our server?
I believe that did happen. I think the New York Times story, I believe, mentioned that people apparently did question this, and they were told, don't ask about that anymore.
Well, they were just ignored entirely.
In fact, for over a decade prior to even Mrs. Clinton, in the previous secretaries that we had mentioned earlier on, had all been warned about the concern over cybersecurity. So it had been a repeated warning.
You know, and Corey writes, power corrupts, and Clinton has been in power too long. She needs to be sent packing and sent back to whatever cesspool people like her come from. By the way, I am not a burnout or a trumpeter. I am a man without a home in this election cycle. We have a criminal, a pathological liar, and a demagogue still in the race. I'll let you decide who is who. Just close to the line, I probably shouldn't have read it.
All right.
That means you agree I shouldn't have read it, right?
No, I think we're all right. I think it's fine. Right. I think we figured it out.
All right. Okay. Dear Roundtable, thanks for making one thing clear. The Obama State Department is part of the right-wing conspiracy against the Clintons. Now that conspiracy is a really big tent. Jim, that's a play on her right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, I think which, by the way,
she was right about.
Yeah. Was she?
Of course.
So the question that we have in the minute before we go over to the break here is there's the immediate damage and then there's the long-term damage, but let us remember that she still has to a major contest in California. She still has to get the delegates, and will this impede in that anymore.
Well, it may mean, let's just say it's very close. According to the Times this morning, it's, you know, basically 50-50. She's leading by 2 points. Let's assume that this has an impact and she loses to Bernie. She's still going to get the votes she needs to win the nomination. She only needs 100 and she'll get them. Anyway, Leslie says, this email thing will never go away because the Republicans won't let it. She made a bad decision. She's owned up to it. Let's put it to rest. Donald Trump makes bad decisions, lies, offends people, etc. every day and never owns up to anything. He is so unfit for the office of president that it is mind-blowing that anyone would vote for him.
Well, I don't think it's Republicans, though. I mean, isn't the FBI is not Republicans.
Well, it depends who you think.
Well,
okay.
Ostensibly, the Obama administration is you know, in charge of that, right?
Have you ever heard the word the permanent bureaucracy? You know, no matter who the political people are, there is a permanent bureaucracy that has sort of been with us from the days of you-know-who, J. Edgar Hoover.
All right. With that pause, we're going to take a break.
When you say all right, does that mean?
It means that we got to go to a break.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to a break. And
Washington will never change.
Meaning, do you go on with the conversation or do you then end it because you have
a
break?
Go.
So we'll go to the break. Alan is here. Stu is here. Chris is here. And we'll continue with your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Stu Shinsky, and Chris Churchill make up the group this morning. Very nice to have you aboard as well. So we've been talking for the first part of our program about Hillary Clinton and the emails. So not so surprising that Donald Trump has taken to this and has used this as yet another attack. But when I watched, I don't know why I did this. I really don't know why I did this. But yesterday, he was speaking in Anaheim, and they were streaming it. So I went in and I watched the whole thing. Went on for over an hour, and I watched it. And what struck me was that much more than Hillary Clinton were his barbs to fellow members of the GOP.
Right. Yeah.
So many new attacks, one having to do with the governor of New Mexico, who not only, of course, female, which is we keep on talking about the woman problem
card, yeah.
with Donald Trump, but also Latino and has not endorsed him. Mm-hmm. She has not come out and said anything negative about him, except that she said, I don't want to appear with you. So that became a snub, and then of course that was an issue.
Donald Trump is a very sensitive man.
He is a very sensitive man.
I think he's also, hold your letters, brilliant. Because he sees himself as having been the beneficiary of all those people who hate the classic insiders. So by taking on the insiders in his own party, yep. He promotes the image of him as an independent who is going to take on the entire establishment, and he doesn't want to give that up.
But is Susana Martinez an insider in the party? Is Elizabeth Warren an insider?
Well, Elizabeth Warren is, of course, not only heroic, but she's in the other party.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, this is to Chris's point, that he just seems to be very thin-skinned as to anyone, including a reporter or a person of just a random human who walks up to him and says anything to him.
Could I respectfully remind you, Joseph, that he is, in fact, winning now in some of the polls.
It's worked so far.
Yes.
That's how I see it. It's worked so far. He's not going to change his philosophy or his approaches. Look where he is.
But the thing is,
he's tied for the race.
What Joe is kind of saying is that he doesn't attack insiders. He attacks people who don't say nice things about him.
Right.
If you're an insider and you say something nice about Trump, he loves you.
My point was that it's less calculated and just it's when anybody says anything about him, he is going to fight fire with fire.
No, it's right. The old Ronald Reagan line, there you go again. That's what it is. There you go again, you insiders, whoever you are. You're attacking me and that's what it's about.
He emerged from a field of 17 candidates.
Insiders all.
No one thought he would emerge from anything look where he is, look how he's done it. For him, it's a winning formula. That's how I think it comes down to.
And he might be right. I mean, well, yeah, look, it's working. You're right about that part of it. But on the other hand, I think everybody agrees that he does have to win over some women. He does have to win over Hispanics.
Why?
A state like New Mexico is in play. The governor is popular. Why attack her? How does that make any sense? I mean, the population of New Mexico is heavily Hispanic.
You reap what you sow. And he's reaping it all right. I mean, you know, he's put these seeds out there. It's working for him. And I don't think you should expect that he's going to change.
I don't know that it's working. Is it working for him, or is Hillary Clinton just so weak a candidate that he's just naturally going to get 50% of the vote?
Whatever, it's working for him.
In the primaries, though, it was only the party. It was only the party during the primaries, the GOP. And he's going to go to California, and he'll do quite well in California, and he'll go from there.
But playing by, and I understand the whole establishment thing. I get it. But you still have to get the money. You still have to have the convention. You still have to do all of this stuff. So if you have former presidents of your party that you're running in are not going to come together and endorse you, if you call the 2012 nominee a penguin, a choker, and stupid. I'm not talking about with the electorate. I'm talking with the people of the party who eventually, okay, even as president, that you have to in some way, shape, or form work with, not to mention the money that you need to run the campaign to get elected in the first place.
Well, there certainly is that, yes.
Well, I don't know.
But
it all depends on whether he's a lying liar. We don't know if he has the money he says he has. If he has $10 billion.
Well, he says he's not going to use his own money.
Here's the point. Yeah. He could use his own money.
I don't think he's got that kind of money.
Well, think schmink.
I know. Okay. It's pure speculation, but.
Yeah. And then here is here is Mike from Westfield who says, in response to me, so I really have to read it, Trump, brilliant. He's only smarter than the people voting for him. Well, that's quite a put down of the United States democracy, if you think about it. I think there is a real sense of the insiders controlling things. Look, I'm not a Trump fan, that's for sure. But when you look at New York State, Chris, something you're very familiar with, and you watch these louts in the New York State legislature saying, we don't care that 97% of the people hate our guts and think we're bad. We're going to do it anyway, and we're not going to rein ourselves in, and we're not going to do any of the things that the people want us to do to clean up our act. We're not going to do any of that, and that's what Trump and Bernie Sanders have going for them.
The medium is the message. He has made a message successful. And yes, at some point he'll have to fill a cabinet perhaps and find people who will be willing to work with him. Will that be a challenge? It might
not
be
really.
If he gets that far. But you know what? Plenty of people are going to want to work in the cabinet.
Sure. I want to go back. One second, Chris. I want to go back to the word brilliant, you know, which I used. Hitler's face, I believe, was on on the cover of Time magazine. He mobilized his society. Was he brilliant? I don't even want to say because he was so despicable and awful. But there is a certain kind of knowledge that goes into how to win, and he's been showing that.
Is that shrewd rather than brilliant?
I don't know.
Or media savvy. I would agree that he's media savvy. And going back to the sensitivity thing, A, he's sensitive, and B, he seems to have this need to always be in the headlines, be the headline. You know, that's how he... The free media thing. That's what he. That's how he's gotten where he's gotten.
Because in this letter which we got, which said he's only smarter than the people voting for him. Those are the people who are watching The Apprentice, You're Fired, the this, you're that. That's what this election's about. That's why he's so popular.
The Romney thing is interesting too, because there's still this talk that Romney could jump in as a third party candidate.
Come on.
It's still out there. It was in the New York Times just a couple of days ago.
Come on.
And, you know, with insults like that, it's almost like he's taunting him to do it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, but if Romney does that, I think most people agree that Hillary wins. So why is Trump still poking that bear?
Well, Trump was poking yesterday about the fact that saying that she should jump out of the race, then Biden would come in. And, I mean, he was floating that as well.
He wants to make her look weak. That's a good way of doing that.
See, I guess this is where I don't know. And not that I disagree with
me.
You, Alan, but I do, I just wonder if how much of this is really calculated, because when he's up there, he just seems so, like, just anything that pops into his head, he says. Like, I don't think it's that calculated.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you all that it's working, but it does not seem calculated at all.
He does seem to shoot.
I'm not sure that it is working. I mean, he's pulling even with Hillary.
It's working in the sense that he's the nominee.
Right. Okay, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think most people think, and again, what most people think has never really been proven true in this election cycle, but maybe he'd be doing even better if he wasn't needlessly doing this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, if he needs to win over Hispanics, maybe toning it down a little bit would help him do that.
Well, the other guys all toned it down, and you see what happened to them, including Jeb Bush. Ted just writes, Joe, brilliant is not connected to good or bad.
Did I question that?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought you were the one that brought up brilliant.
You said you didn't want to call Hitler brilliant because he's despicable.
Right. Joni says, according to my former neighbor, Linda, Charles Manson is brilliant too. I assume you've seen the picture of him and Donald Trump making the same double smirking faces.
I haven't seen that picture.
Yeah, the larger issue here is
we don't even know it exists.
There's a political party here, the Republican Party, that has to sort of figure out what its future is. If Trump is the standard bearer of the party, and there's so much dissension within the party that Paul Ryan won't even get behind him for what he feels are valid reasons, where does the party go? And does it matter if the party wins the presidency? What happens to the Republican Party? And what happens to the Democratic Party, which has been split as well?
Well, I don't know. Lisa says, read Trump. A round peg in a round hole is not genius. It's just a fit. Trump is representative of his audience. Also saw Hillary Clinton clip yesterday. She needs to stop reading speeches and talk intuitively. She has such knowledge. Now she should just speak to all of us.
She sort of yells a lot.
She doesn't seem capable of connecting with people, though. That I think that's her problem. I mean, one of Trump's qualities is that he does connect with people.
Which is why Bill Clinton, who connected with people, is the subject of a great attack from Trump. Because if he calls him a rapist and does all of that, he brings down one of the great surrogates that Hillary Clinton has in this election.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, he's going to disqualify him as a surrogate. That's what he intends to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll go on to other topics. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, an Albany resource for shoes and boots from designers such as Arch, Nayote, AS98, and Gabor for office, parties, and more. EvokeStyle.com. University at Albany, hosting an information session on their weekend MBA program Wednesday, June 22nd at 6 p.m., 518-956-8330. Alarms of Berkshire County, offering full-service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for nearly 35 years. AlarmsofBerkshireCounty.com. And Ninepin Cider Works, serving New York hard ciders made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room open Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, downtown Albany. Be revolutionary, consider the apple. NinePinCider.com.
Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. A few minutes left. I just want to take a moment to remind you that the lockbox is open and doing quite nicely. Thank you very much. We are a whisker away from $210,000.
Not nice enough. I'll tell you the truth. I don't ever want to lie to anybody. I'm scared to death. We have to. It's my passion showing, and yours. But it has to come out to $400,000. We'll lose that $10,000. God knows who else is going to put something else up. And it is our being that is threatened here. I need everybody to go to the lockbox at WAMC.org and just say, okay, Alan, Joe, Stu, Chris, let me do something for the radio station. Let me put $5 in, or let me put $100 in. What do you get? You get the beautiful T-shirt, the Vote WAMC, or you get the and you get the cup to add to your collection, and somebody will come in and see it there, and 2 weeks later you'll be married.
Simple as that.
Wow.
That's all it takes.
Quite a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad for $100, is it?
Get married for $100.
It depends.
Cost me a lot more.
It depends.
Your results may vary.
Yes.
So it's $210,000, let's say. It's $209,723. But I'm sure by now it probably is $210,000.
We absolutely need to get to $300,000. We only have a week. We have a week.
And a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. You got the vote package for $100. You can check out everything at WAMC.org and do what you have to do. But it's very, very important. We can end the fund drive before
passion.
It even begins.
Passion.
Support your local luck box.
Right.
all
right. I'm hung up on the word passion now in that context.
Which takes us to political polling.
That's right. Oh, well, so to speak. Let's go to that story. And what should we make of the polls at this point in the game? This is the question that is brought to the table by the New York Times, I believe. Yes.
The Upshot. Is it the Upshot?
It's the Upshot, yes.
It's a blog, I think.
And so the question is, when should you start worrying about the polls?
Now.
All right. Since Donald Trump became the presumptive Republican nominee, several national polls have shown him narrowing the gap with his likely opponent, Hillary Clinton, or even leading. But the election is more than 5 months away. When should you start to care about polls?
Now.
With some caveats, we believe the answer is...
Now.
They believe the answer is not quite yet.
The Times all along has been telling us why Hillary is going to be the president. And I'm still going back to that thing maybe a week ago where they showed four scenarios, showed you where every state would be in play. They said, scenario one, Hillary wins. Scenario two, Hillary wins. Scenario three, Hillary wins. It shows you all these red states and blue states and everything. Scenario four, Trump wins. Why? Because he gets more votes.
Yeah, I mean, the polls are just a snapshot of what's happening at this moment. But, you know, they reflect something. They reflect the sentiment that's out there. And that sentiment is that people don't really like Hillary. They don't like Trump either very much. But they're both highly disliked candidates, and either one of them can win.
Well, there's no question that I'm scared based on these polls. And I take them for what they are. Imperfect, but terribly important in that we are now seeing head-to-head race with Trump slightly ahead in a couple of polls.
When Donald Trump gets is the presumptive nominee, and as that starts to solidify and there aren't other candidates, and in the last days of that fight of John Kasich and Ted Cruz of lobbing shots and so forth, and he's the guy. Doesn't it make sense that the 8 or 9 points that Hillary had is going to dissipate some?
Yeah.
Especially when she is still in a contest with another candidate, and this is even before what happened yesterday of more of the email stuff. But she's still not the nominee. You know, she's still not the presumptive nominee.
But that speaks to the point that she's a weak candidate, right? I mean, when are we going to stop being surprised that she's underperforming? I mean, it just seems to happen over and over and over again. It happened in 2008. She comes into all of these races as the overwhelming favorite, and every single time she either loses or she fails to dispatch of a 74-year-old from Vermont that nobody had ever really heard of before. And she's going to struggle against
Trump. Just watch that 74-year-old stuff, please.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Surprise.
Yes.
But quote the great...
But the point is that she always struggles, and she's going to struggle against Trump, too. People need to start accepting that she's not a particularly strong candidate.
I want to go back to what Joe said, and just simply say, yeah, if the bird flew through the room right now and the sky was pink instead of blue and this and that, you know, but the poll is showing them running head to head.
Yeah, but the poll was showing them 3 weeks ago running 10 points difference.
Yes, which is what's so scary. And to quote the great George Costanza.
Yes.
Seinfeld.
Of Seinfeld fame. Thank you.
Stan. Yada, yada, yada. In other words, everybody's very busy saying all of these things, which basically should give us all reassurance that Trump isn't going to be the president. I was talking to a brilliant journalist the other day, brilliant guy, and he said he thinks Trump's going to win.
I think Trump's going to win.
You're the brilliant journalist I was talking to.
Strong shot.
I think he does. I think he's got a. I think that he has a really good chance to win the Rust Belt states that Pennsylvania, Ohio, maybe even Michigan. And if he does that, it's very difficult to deny him the presidency.
You know, there's a lot to say about polls, and they come out at a dizzying rate from a lot of institutions that do very solid work. In the Poughkeepsie area, where I live and work, we have the Marist poll.
Terrific. Yes.
Lee Maringoff. And
Barbara Cavallo.
Barbara Cavallo, great team. They've been doing this for decades. They work with NBC. They have a very great reputation. Bloomberg did an analysis that they had the most accurate poll. And that is a testament. So a little
shout
out.
And what are they finding these days?
I don't know what their most recent poll is on this, but within the dizzying cloud of polls that are out there, it's you can look at one, look at another. I've always tried to sort of take one poll and follow its progress.
I think the best way to do it is to look at the averages, which is what Real Clear Politics does.
Yes.
And but even if you average them all out, you get a pretty good idea of. And I think that Real Clear Politics, which I have trouble saying, actually has Trump up a point or two at this point.
Right. And not only that, but they're not the only ones who do averages, and the averages don't agree with each other by various averagers.
Mm-hmm. Well, polls, it depends on, who you're polling, too, obviously. Is it registered voters, likely voters?
Guys who never voted before but who are angry.
Right, and Trump is drawing some of those people in, so who knows how many of them are out there.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, Chris, it's a snapshot of right now. And 2 days from now, a story can come out, change it all.
Right.
Well, it's true. I mean, Chris has given me a real reason to worry, because he says, he thinks Trump could win. And I think there are many people out there who think that he can and will win based on his understanding of the formula about how to win. We don't have to assign values to it like we don't have to say brilliant, but he's doing it.
He's all over the place on the issues. I mean, he takes a different tack every day. But one thing he has been consistent on is trade and NAFTA. And I think that's a real weakness for Hillary Clinton, because that was a Clinton administration accomplishment, quote unquote. And a lot of people are really angry about it. And it helps explain some of Bernie's support, too.
Dr. Miguel says, what is it with Chris? He says, it seems every time Chris is on the show, he's got nothing positive to say about Hillary. Try to be a little bit more objective, please.
Well,
I think you have to tell the truth, and if that's the
way
you
see, she's a weak candidate. I mean, what am I going to say? Yeah. I'm no Trumpster or Trumpeter or however people want to say it. But I don't think that she's. I think if Elizabeth Warren had run, or Joe Biden, or any of these other potential candidates, she wouldn't be the nominee.
Well, along with that, our friend Sidney Smithers, who comes in and volunteers at the fund drives, a brilliant lawyer, says Hillary is the national version of Martha Coakley. Now, Martha Coakley, for all of you who don't remember her, they ran for governor and in a blue state and lost.
Right, because she didn't really connect with people, right?
Correct.
I mean, she had trouble.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, we have just about a minute left, so if you want to do another letter or two, that should bring us up to the
we'll do.
The expiration date.
My wife, says Kenny, made me turn you guys off because they're sick of hearing about polls and pundits. Hello, Kenny. I know you're out there. I know you're still listening. Okay. All right. And then...
how about those Mets?
What'd you say?
How about those Mets?
How about those Red Sox?
Yeah. First place Red Sox.
Okay.
Or how about those Yankees? Not so great.
Hi, panel. Clint goes back on a pledge to debate in California. There are murmurs. There are murmurs.
The mummers are in Philadelphia.
Are
that the Young Turks or Fox will get Sanders and Trump in a debate prior to the prior to the primary. It ain't going to happen. And I
heard that they agreed to debate each other, Trump and Sanders.
That would be something.
Yeah, right? Trump and Sanders. Yeah. Sanders took up the
tweeted and said game on or something.
But yeah. I don't know if it's been.
Yeah, I don't know if it's set up, but apparently they've informally agreed.
Yeah.
Trump, Stalin, Hitler, Mobutu, Mugabe. What do they all have in common? Egomaniacs using a simple message to lure voters and clever enough to find people willing to sacrifice their nation for a position of power. Once he has the nation, he'll have no trouble building a cabinet. That's from Mitchell, because we talked about that before. Good morning. I agree with Joe. It seems to me that Trump is more reactive than calculating. This makes him scarier than ever. Thanks for the show. And that's from Rosalind. Okay.
One more and we're done.
Okay. And Bill says from Athens, someone just invented the word Trumpervert. I could think of no better word to describe the kind of person who is the Republicans are backing this year. Definitely a clever letter that Alan read.
All right. Excellent. We will end there. My thanks to everybody for participating this morning. Alan, Stu, Chris, thank you very much. We'll
thank
be back tomorrow for another panel, and we will continue with our program right after this.